A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take for Talmud. Chulin Daf Yud Aleph, Chulin 11a. Pagination is 21. We'll start on the facing page, about midway on the page. Midway on a line. Minoha Milsa. How do you know this thing? And the Gemara is going to explore two concepts. One is Chazaka, which basically means that it has a current status, a certain assumption, and we assume that that assumption remains until something occurs of significance to change its status. We have this, for example, by a woman who's tahar, who's permitted to her husband, and if questions come up, we're going to want to know what happened to change her status. And we might even word it as there's no status change, even though something might have happened, but I don't see enough to change status. And the same in the reverse. If she's not permitted to her husband, she's a nida, so then we're going to want some definitive Hefsek Taira, we're going to want to change in status in order to begin the seven clean days, for example. So Chazaka is that something has its current status. In Chulin, an animal has a status of being forbidden until we know that there was a Kasher Shechita. There's also a concept of Rov. Rov comes primarily in two forms. Rov of things that are in front of me. The word means majority. Things that are in front of me, and I could attribute what occurred to the majority. I have 9 butcher shops that are kosher, 1 that's not kosher. There will be cases where I can attribute to the majority. There's also a ruba de lesa kamon, a majority of logic, certain assumptions. Most children are not abnormal. That sounds like a funny expression, but it actually has significant ramification. If we were to do a yibum chalitza with children, on the assumption that they are normal, that they're going to grow up to be normal, capable people in terms of fathering or mothering a child, regular conditions, not a sris or an islandess. So when they are children, it has not yet happened. We don't know what they're going to be like by adults, but there's a logic here. Majority of children grow up to be what we consider normal in this context, which is regular childbearing people. And therefore, even as children, we can rely on that majority assumption and have them proceed with chalitza. Now, is that a majority that's in front of us? Not really. I can't point and say it emanated from, but it's a logic. I'm assuming that this child is going to follow the normal pattern that's out there. So Rov and Chazaka are two powerful concepts, particularly because the Torah wasn't given to angels, it was given to human beings, and we don't know everything. So we rely on certain assumptions. And these are two powerful assumptions that we rely on in different circumstances. In fact, the Gemara and the later Mefarshim, particularly the Shev Shmaitza, explore what would happen if there are any variations. What would happen if a Chazaka goes against a Rov? They're contradicting each other. In which assumption should hold sway? So again, in our Gemara, Minoha Milsa, how do you know this thing? The basic principle, the Amar Rabbanon, that the rabbi said, Uki Milsa Achazke, that you could assume that something retains its status, that's the Chazaka one, until something significant occurs to change your impression about it. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonis, and Amar Kroh, it's based on a posik, V'yotza ha-koin min ha-bayis, al-pesach ha-bayis. The Kohen, after seeing the affliction of Tzaras in a house, walks outside the house, V'hiskeres ha-bayis shevas yomim, and he locks it up for 7 days. Asks the Gemara, Dilma adonofik v'osa botza le-shi'ura. Maybe, by the time he walked out, there was a status change on the tzaras. Maybe it got smaller and it's no longer going to be a problem. Elalav mishum da'amrin and uki achazke. The last I saw it, it was the right size to be a problem. I walked out. I assume it's the same size. And you see chazaka in play. Maskevla Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Rav Acha bar Yaakov said, I could come up with a case. He walked out backwards with his eyes on the tzaras so that he sees that it didn't change. He sees it as he walks out. Abaye says, there are two answers to what you just said. Number one, walking out backwards, it's not called walking out. It says that the coin's going to walk out. An act of walking out is not backwards. We find by mezuzah, for example, derech bi'oscha. There's a correct way to walk. You walk forward. We have such a concept if an alcove is so small that you go into it and can't do anything and then walk out of it backwards. So then, in many cases, it's not going to be obligated to mezuzah, not on the way into the alcove, and not on the way out of the alcove into the larger room. Into the room, if it doesn't have space, doesn't have a function, it might not be obligated in mezuzah. I'm thinking in particular of these little alcoves that have the washer-dryer. So, in many cases, we're going to say there's no mezuzah on the way into that alcove. And on the way out, if you're backing out, that's not derech bi'oscha into the larger room. So Abaye says, you're backing out. That's not the act of yitziyah. Va'od, and besides, that's very cute that you could have a case of tzaras in certain cases that you could see it from the door as you're backing out, but not all cases, and perhaps even not most cases, are going to be able to be seen from the door. Abaye cites the example of achorei hadelos mayika lemeimar. If something is behind the door, you won't be able to see it, and there must be a chazaka coming into play over here. Let's skip two lines. Amalei Rava said, Diko amret yitziyah derech achorov lo shma yitziyah. The fact that going backwards is not called a yitziyah. Actually, I found a yitziyah that goes backwards. Kohen Gadol b'yom ha-kippurim yochiach. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur can prove that going backwards is a yitziyah, is going out. Dechsiv be yitziyah, it says he should go out. Tanan yotza volo derech kinisasa. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur backs out of the Kodesh Kadoshim out of honor. And it's called a yitziyah. Udiko amrit, and you want to say that there are cases where you can't see the nega. So there's discussion, I could achieve some way to be able to see it. On this topic that the Kohen Gadol backs out, so that's something that deserves some consideration because that's the unique yitziyah of the Kohen Gadol coming out of the Kodesh Kadoshim. Whereas over here, he's only backing out because he wants to keep his eyes on the tzaras. It's not the very nature of yitziyah from such a house is backwards. And therefore, perhaps the objection remains. that backing out by tzaras is not really a yitziyah, and therefore the principle of chazaka is a good proof. Let's move on to today's daf, Yud Aleph. Minaha milsa on the second line, da amar rabbanan zilba saruba, go after the majority. Minalan, what do you mean? Go after the majority? Dichsiv acharei rabim lahatos. It says, follow the majority in the case of a court case. So the Gemara makes the differentiation I alluded to. Ruba de isa kamon kigon tes chanuyos v'sanhedrin lo. Kami ba'ilon. I wasn't asking you about a majority that's in front of me, the majority of judges ruling in a certain way, or the majority of stores being kosher. Kikami ba'ilon, what I was asking was ruba de lesa kamon, a logical, kigon katan uketana. Minolon. A child, boy or girl, to assume that they are childbearing and regular children going to grow up to be regular adults, such that we could have Yibam or Chalitza as they are children. That's what I was asking. Do you find for me such a rove? And if we turn on to Amud Beis, we see one of the remarkable proofs. It's just above midway on the page at the end of a line. Rav Kana Omar, Rav Kana said, Asya mehoreges hanefesh, from the fact that we can administer capital punishment to a murderer, you see that there's such a thing as rov type of assumption. The Omar Rachmana, because the Torah says, katle, you could kill him for his murder, for killing. V'leichash, why don't you worry? Dilma tereifahu have. Maybe the person who was killed was anyway a sickly person. Elalav mishum da'amrina zil basaruba. We follow a majority. He's walking, he's talking, we assume he was healthy. V'chitema devadkinan lei. And if you want to tell me, oh, we check him. How come a novel, an autopsy? That's a disgrace to the deceased. V'chiteman, if you tell me autopsy is really bad, but mishum ibud neshama dahai nenavle, you want to administer capital punishment. So that's a question that whichever one is more serious is going to outweigh the other one. An autopsy is not so serious in a life-threatening case. So you're going to kill somebody for it. So maybe you do have to do the autopsy on the dead person. Answers the Gemara, even if you went so boldly in dealing with this case, you're still not going to have it perfect. Maybe in the place where the weapon hit, there was a hole. So you'll never really know, because even an autopsy can't uncover that. If he was stabbed in the heart, maybe the heart was faulty before the stab. You'll never know for sure, even with an autopsy. And therefore, fundamentally, what you're relying on is the rov, that the person was alive. We assume he was healthy. Just to make the distinction, chazaka is that he was alive, so he's still alive until we see he's not. That's not going to help you over here in verifying that a healthy person was killed. A live person was killed, that we know, but a healthy person was killed, that's rov coming into play, the assumption that people out there generally are still healthy, that's why they live. And therefore, this victim as well is assumed to have been healthy, and therefore we're able to administer capital punishment on the person who killed him. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.